He said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That stone is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not just a rock of my salvation, but he is the cornerstone of my church. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That just sounds like some just kind of feel-good statement. Oh, it's very doctrinal. He's the cornerstone. That means everything plumbs and levels with that cornerstone.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Look at verse number 19 of Ephesians chapter 2. And the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. How many are glad you're a part of the family of God? Say amen. Amen. All right. And look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Look at my text verse. Would you read verse 19 with me together? Ready? Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the local church. There's a church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee that I pastor. But I'm preaching a local church in Lancaster, California. I believe that Jesus died for the local church. But aren't you glad when you can come into a church like this, though you may be a part of another local church, and feel at home the saints of God? I believe we're fellow citizens, and I'm grateful for that, because we are of the household of God. But I want to speak in particular about this household, Lancaster Baptist Church, this family of God here, that God's going to take to heaven someday with a shout. And you'll leave this geographical location. We're going to be in the air. Tennessee may be just a hair ahead of California. I'm not saying anyway. But we're all heading to the same place. Amen? Amen. And I want to talk about that for just a while. Let's pray together. Father, bless us now as we look into your word. I pray that you help us to enjoy our time together as children of God. Thank you for the great service this morning. Thank you for folks who were saved and baptized and folks that joined the church. Thank you for the 80 that was in the new members class today. And thank you for the growth and movement and the influence of this ministry. I pray that you'll bless our time. Lord, I ask you to give me your power, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I like your theme this year, by his Spirit. And boy, I tell you what, anything that you get accomplished for God is by his Spirit. And I appreciate that. I want to just kind of give you just a little history. I have a long introduction. I'll get into the message in just a moment. But I was raised in a little town called Evans, West Virginia. And my parents started attending a church. They wanted a good Bible-believing church. Ripley was the big town. And population 3,000, salute. Not a very big town. But we were there. And my parents helped start a church in the upstairs of what we call the old Rexall Drug Store. I can remember as a little boy, 3 or 4 years old, I remember going up the stairs and had a little wooden chair in my Sunday school class, and the church grew, and we moved up on top of the hill there in Ripley, West Virginia, and it was summertime. We set up a tent. We had services in a tent all summer long, and then they took enough offerings to dig a hole and build a basement, and they put a roof on that basement, and for many years, we set some pews in there, and we had church in the basement. And then later, I think it was 1963, the cornerstone said, we built the building on top of that with a bell tower and everything. I can remember a little boy going up in that bell tower and ringing that bell, man, and those big old ropes. And one of the deacon's boys, and sometimes they have a big time, but he put loops in that those ropes, and he said, watch this, Mikey. And I remember he put one foot in one foot in the other, and he was ringing that bell like that. And all of a sudden, the bell stopped ringing. And we turned that bell over, and it stayed upside down, stuck. Man, we were in big trouble. We didn't know what to do. We come running out of there. And by the time church started, the bell decided to come down out of there, dinging and carrying on. But those were the days. And so, I guess. And so I've been around that all my life. My dad would help build churches. And then, of course, God called me to preach, and I pastored the Ripley Baptist Temple there for years. And I remember the church started growing there, and I think we had 88 our first Sunday preacher, and then we grew to 120 and then to 200, and we had to get some extra pews, moved out of the lobby, back into the auditorium. That was a big day. And then I told the fellows, guys, let's just build a balcony in the back of this thing. I remember I've not been in your old church preacher across town, but I've seen pictures of it, and our church looks similar, big steep roof. And instead of doing that, we decided to knock the wall out of the end of this A-frame building, and we built a building out there and extended our auditorium, made it real long. Those were big days. We'd run 300, then 400, and we were adding on. We put a balcony in later. But I remember that day, and I remember they had built the outside of the new building. They'd put their trusses on the roof and everything, two stories, choir rehearsal room downstairs and different things, and dressing rooms for the baptistry. And then on top, we was practically just going to move all of our platform space and choir space out there in the new part. They built that first. Then the idea was they would tie the roofs in of the old building and the new building, and then they're going to take the big block wall out. I was back in my office the day they were going to do that. They had a big scaffold 22 feet in the air, and their head construction workers came in, and they knocked out the top of the wall there for a while, knocked it down about 10 feet out of the top of it. And finally they decided, hey, let's just take the whole wall down at one time. Now, I didn't know what they were doing. And so they got along the bottom. They started taking their sledgehammers and knocking out blocks around the bottom on one side. They got to the middle, and they hit that middle block, and their hammer just pinged off of it. So they went on the other side, and they knocked all the blocks off of this side. And they got to those two blocks in the middle, and again, they hit it with their sledgehammer, and ping, it just ping. So the guy said, I wonder what's going on with that. If they would have asked me, I would have told them. The whole weight of the wall was on those two blocks. And so the guy's kind of a redneck fella. How many know what a redneck is? He was not going to be defeated by those two blocks. He reared back and hit those things, just a spit on his hands, hit those blocks just as hard as he could, and that whole wall came down out of there at one time. Bad idea. It knocked down the whole new building. Knocked down the roof, knocked down the walls, and I just heard a big thud. Smoke filled the hallways. I thought we'd been attacked by a terrorist and didn't even know what one was back then. We tore the whole building down. You talk about deep depression. I was saying it. I was in gloom and despair and agony. And we got all that built back. And we added on. We built a balcony. We built a big family life center. End up moving, filling up that building. And Brother Rasmussen, you were there. And we moved out in the gymnasium when we left and run about 600 plus big days, full house. Those were exciting days. And it was a good move for us when we moved to Tennessee. I still go back. I was back in December preaching in our old church in Ripley, and I won't tell you about all that. But I remember Pastor Chapel when we went to that big auditorium at Franklin Road Baptist. You've been there many times. And I walked in that big old circular shaped auditorium. They told me to seat about 1,500, not quite that, but after I found out. And I walked in there, and my wife sat down the very first Sunday. I remember after church, she took a deep breath. She said, oh, Mike. Finally, we don't have to build any more buildings. Wrong answer. I thought that too. But this man made a statement years ago, wrote in the back of my Bible. He said, a growing church is always in transition. Boy, that is the understatement of the year. And immediately we started making plans to build. And we built and we remodeled, made different changes. We bought property. I have bought so much property. It costs a lot. And we just completed a $4 million project last April. And we're about to add a 2,300-seat auditorium. We kind of holding off until we get a little more paid down. We're all on schedule. And I thought about when I came here. By the way, we're in this process, Brother Chapel, praying and asking God to show us exactly what to do. I want you to know that I have been encouraged since I've been here. Just to go forward for God. If you would come to our place right now, everything is in order. All the infrastructure for the new building, the restrooms, the new nurseries, everything's right there. I wish I could show you a picture of it. But if you come to the back of the building, you'll see this big, humongous white wall. You say, well, what's that all about? I'm just thanking the Lord no one's painting graffiti on it yet. That is where the new auditorium goes. I can take you right to the parking place, the parking space in the parking lot where the pulpit will be. And I'm praying every day that God would show us what to do. And my faith has been increased since I've been here. I watched this ministry grow out of the desert. I started coming when you're in your old building, and then you built this new building. And boy, those are exciting days. And I want to just say tonight before I move on, there's no place to stop. I said there's no place to stop. And there's really not. There's more people here that need to be saved. And I'm talking about buildings tonight, and I never dreamed that that wall would fall and we had all that mess to clean up. And I never dreamed that I would move to Murfreesboro and have to turn around and build another building soon. But you know, we're talking about buildings, and this church is not about buildings. This church is about people. But you've got to house people. I want you to understand that the day is gone when folks will sit out in the hot sunshine and the rain to listen to the Word of God. I'm sorry. Those days are over. I don't know if they ever were to start with. I remember I had a man back in our old ministry. He said, "Preacher," said, "I just wish we'd get back to the day when we just put a sign out we're having church and get the songbooks out and just have church. We didn't have to worry about all this. Preacher, don't you think we just put a big metal building up?" And I stopped him. I said, "Would you come there? Really, would you come there?" Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that you don't overdo it here, but I'm glad that you do it nice. Now, I said I'll say this. We build buildings to hold the household of God. This is a family. I am glad, as the song goes, that I am part of the family of God. And I thought about the household of God in this passage. Just, I don't know if I've ever preached this out. I've preached it to our people, but I prayed. I asked God to show me what to do. And I thought about where Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. I want you to know that our building fell down back in West Virginia, and Franklin Road Baptist Church, that building has burned to the ground 2 times in previous ministries. I want you to know that buildings do see destruction and fire, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the people inside that church. And that's what the church is all about. It's about the people of God. And I want to show you about 5 things if you want to write these down, if you would. You say, why is this household so wonderful? Well, number one, its founder is God Almighty. This thing called the church was in the mind of our living God. In verse 19, the Bible describes it as the household of God. Now, my dad, Delbert Leland Norris, is the patriarch of our family. He had knee surgery the other day, and he's home recuperating. But if I go inside my dad's house, I am in the household of Delbert Norris. If you come in my house, you're in my house. I was always taught as a little boy that when I came to church, I was in my father's house. Now, we all know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I understand that. But we're here today, as they said in the Old Testament, let's go up to the house of God. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And you're looking at a person that loves to be in church. How many love to be in church? I want to show this the household of God. We ought to love being with each other. Fellow citizens. I want to show you a verse real quick. I just saw it a moment ago as I was going over my notes, verse 12, the last part. Here's the condition we used to be in. The Bible says in verse 12, the last part, having no hope and without God in the world. How would you like to be living in this world without God and no hope? Think about all the folks in Lancaster and this Antelope Valley that have no hope. And you and I have got the hope. The next verse says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this thing called the church, its founder is God. I wrote 3 things down underneath this point. He is the designer of this church, of the household of God. He has a plan. He's laid it all out. In the New Testament, we have the pastoral epistles in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and tells us how everything should be done decently and in order. He gives us all of our doctrine to teach and train others. And I want you to know, it's an exciting thing. I just told Pastor in the office before we came down to pray, I said, you know, Brother Chapel, I want to thank you for majoring on the basics, the doctrine of Christianity. There are deep things, and I know that you learn deep things, but I'm just happy. We're living in a generation that's never caught the shallow stuff yet. You know, if you mention the blood of Jesus Christ down in the South where I'm at, they jump and shout and hoot and holler and carry on and wave hankies because they've got it down that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away our sin. They've got it down that without the shed of blood, there is no remission of sin. They've got it down that the Pope, there's no hope in the Pope, but there is salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We understand that here, and it should excite us. This thing in the church, God was a designer. I wrote this down. Secondly, He was the developer. He designed this thing. He's the great architect of all of it, and He's the developer. His intention is to spread this edition worldwide. What you have right here in Lancaster, every city in the world ought to have the opportunity to have a church like this. They don't, but they should have the opportunity to have a church like this. I was in Thailand not long ago, and we have an orphanage there. We have a local church in Lamphun, Thailand, Nam Long Baptist Church. Brother Rick Horn, our missionary, is there, and you've had him here, and we're grateful for that. He has an orphanage of about 80-some kids. Every morning, those mouths are hungry, ready to eat. He teaches them English. I've been there 5 o'clock in the morning. They get up and read their Bibles. All 80 of them read the Word of God in English. Up in the mountains, they have 13 different hill tribe churches. I've been to 8 of those churches. And whenever you go there, they interpret through 2 different languages to hear the Word of God preached. But oh, how they love their church in their little village up on the side of the mountain with no electricity, no floors. They love the Word of God. You can preach to them for hours. Can I say, ladies and gentlemen, that we're kind of spoiled in America, but we ought to thank God for what we have. We should do nothing to go against the household of God because He's the developer. Where we are, there in Murfreesboro, the housing boom is kind of over. Kind of like here, preacher, they were just building houses, developing houses everywhere. I mean, just, man, in a week they throw a house up and then another house and another, by the thousands. That's kind of slowed down. But we have, since we've been there the last 11 years, developments everywhere. And isn't it strange that the mind of the contractors and developers and so forth can see a plan played out and houses sold? We need to get that in our brains. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to duplicate this church all over the world. And you have a great influence in that. It's the household of God. He's the founder. And He is the defender too, by the way. He's not just a designer. He's a developer. I mean, He defends this thing by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, by the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank God for the Bible. Hey, I want you to know it or not, we got the building permit right here. Amen. Right there. He said, go ye. Amen. We have the authority to do what we're doing. Amen. So we may plant a church somewhere. Somebody may say, well, who says you can plant one here? Well, right, I'll tell you who says. God says. Amen. And so God is the founder. Would you write this down? Secondly, number two, the foundation is Jesus Christ. It's so simple, but I want to kind of tell the story as I go along. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 20, the Bible says, and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the rock of this whole thing. And God the Father said in Isaiah 28:16 and 1 Peter 2:6, He said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That stone is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not just a rock of my salvation, but He is the cornerstone of my church. Amen. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That just sounds like some just kind of feel-good statement. Oh, it's very doctrinal. He's the cornerstone. That means everything plumbs and levels with that cornerstone. Do you know, I know enough about building to make me dangerous, but you know that one of the first things they do is they set that first block. I watched my dad lay block, preacher, and they'll have the concrete foundation, the footers poured, and they'll lay that. And my dad would always tell me, he'd say, now, Mike, that block is the most important block. The very first one. He said, it's got to be completely level. And he would put his big, long wooden level on there. He said, it's got to be completely plumb. He said, I'm going to build this corner right here on this building, whether it's a house or a church. He said, I'm going to build this corner based on how that first block is set. And the Bible teaches us here that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of the Lancaster Baptist Church. He's the cornerstone of the Franklin Road Baptist Church. That means this. Everything I build on that building, not just the building itself, everything that I do by doctrine, by practice, by philosophy, by program, by promotion, everything that I do in that church must line up with the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is righteous. The chief cornerstone is holy. The chief cornerstone was a servant to men. The chief cornerstone came to seek and to save that which was lost. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that the moment we stop being righteous, the moment we decide we want to have a honky-tonk church, just bring in the rock music and let's start dressing down. We're saying we don't want to line up anymore with the chief cornerstone. The day that we say soul winning is not important, the day that we say that worldwide missions is not important, let's reel it all in and take care of the church only. Ladies and gentlemen, we're choosing not to line up with the chief cornerstone. Oh, I wish I had one up here. I preached one time this message to our people, and I brought the cornerstone up, and I started laying blocks and so forth so folks could get the picture. Everything's got to line up with Jesus Christ. Everything. You know, some folks are confused about that today. They've missed the foundation of the church. They've missed the founder of the church. We're now building ministries around personalities and what they can make on their big shows. And I don't mean to sound critical and unkind. By the way, would to God that we would splash the truth all over the television sets. Would to God that He would raise up a preacher that would get on primetime TV and say, "Yeah!" That's an old Southern. Boy, when my dad used to say, "How?" Folks would jump. I'd jump. "Yeah!" Did your daddy ever raise his eyebrow like that? And wouldn't you like to hear some preacher just get on just a primetime TV and just, just cut drive on everybody. Shell the corn. I mean, just light the hair up on the back of their head. Not to be unkind, but somebody somewhere needs to tell folks, this tolerance thing's clear out of hand. God is not tolerant of sodomy. Hey, man, preacher, that's good preaching right there. Somebody somewhere needs to get back to old-time religion, enough of this feel-good stuff. I mean, the Word of God sometimes may make you feel good, and sometimes it may make you feel ashamed. Let's get back to that. I'm saying line up with the chief cornerstone. Everything lines up. Everything levels with Jesus. The foundation of Christ is Christ. The founder is God. I like this next part. This is where we all come in. It is fitly framed with Christians. Get the picture now that the cornerstone, and we'll lay a block here and a block here and a block here, lines up this block, then a block here, and then another block on top of that. You know, just like you stack these, you just like to stack the Lego blocks, but everything lines up that cornerstone. That's us. We're being fitly framed together. God has a people. They are holy. God has a plan. It is organized. Fitly joined means, for people, it means unified. For a block layer, it means there's no cracks or crevices. And I have been around construction enough that I can walk up to a block wall or a brick wall, and I can tell you if the guy knew what he was doing. Courses line up, horizontal and vertical. Everything's the same. You don't have a thin course and a thick course. There's no cracks. You can't see your way. You can tell if the guy knows what he's doing or not. And I want you to know that you have a pastor that takes this thing called organization very seriously. And the reason why is when the finished product is done, he wants to please God with a building that's fitly framed together. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You get it as you come along, but everybody comes along together. That's a wonderful thing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, this is the household of God. How many understand that the household of God ought to be just as good as we can make it? I was always taught that. And so God has a people, they're holy. God has a plan, it's organized, fitly joined together, unified. God has a program, the program. Look at the verse. It says, let's see, verse 21. And in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That circle that word groweth. That's the program. Remember, God is a developer. He is trying to grow this thing. He is developing you as a Christian. And as he develops you as a Christian, his desire that you win other people to Christ and you disciple them. We're in the business of developing people. And as we develop the people, we're developing the work of God. And that's how this church came from a little number of 14 or 20 or so in the pastor's first day to what we have right now. Watch this now. I'm from outside the box. Listen now, in just 24 years. Some of you maybe just joined the church recently. You walk in for 24 years, you ought to have 5,000. It just don't work like that around the nation. I am in Nashville, Tennessee, the belt buckle, the Bible belt, and I assure you that we have not accomplished the same thing in the same length of time. And here you are in California. Don't make me talk about your wonderful state. Now listen to what the preacher's saying from the South. Listen to what I'm saying, because some of you are thinking, man, here we are, March the 14th coming at us. Here we go again. Well, that's what my wife says too. I mean, she says, Mike, be careful before you pull the trigger on a 2,300-seat auditorium. And I'm being real careful. But you may be thinking, what is this all about? I'm going to tell you one thing. I know Brother Willette said several things. I'm going to tell you one thing. There's a lot of eyes on Lancaster Baptist Church. You may say, well, I don't like that. Well, it don't matter. Because we all like to see a winning team. We all like to see it. West Virginia basketball team, too, by the way, is number 8 in the nation. And I know I live in Tennessee. I've never been able to wear the orange. Orange. We used to go hunting in orange in West Virginia. You can be on the chain gang from the prison, wear orange. I mean, we all like to see a winner. Now, to be honest, and some of you are here because you see a winner. Watch this. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take a guess at this because I know it happens. Some of you moved here from another state because it's the winning team. Yeah, I'm going to get real quiet in here because you're not going to tell. You say, well, that's not a bad thing. Folks move to Tennessee for the same reason. Find a place that preaches the Word of God. Had a guy cry the other day. He came from another church and he moved. He said, he cried. I said, sir, I said, is there something? He said, no. He said, you still got songbooks in the back of the rack. I said, well, good. Amen. Still use the King James Bible. By the way, everybody don't do that. And there's a doctrinal reason why we do that. You can talk to your pastor about that. I got to move on. I'm just talking about a ministry that's fitly framed together. I love it when a good plan comes together. And by design, folks are paying attention. And you may be thinking, well, then why don't some of them pay for it? Maybe a little bit they do, but God has a plan for this household of God to do it. So that you can have confidence, so that you can feel like you've accomplished something wonderful. I don't see any of y'all giving to what we're trying to do in Tennessee. Because I have a household of God right there. It's my job. It's a wonderful thing. Fitly framed together. Number four, look at this. I'm almost finished. Number four, it has a format, or in other words, a function. This household of God has a founder, it's God, has a foundation, it's Christ. It's fitly framed together, the Christians. Number four, it has a format or a function. Look at this, verse 22, the last part. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation. Here's your theme of God through the Spirit. You know, the only thing your pastor wants, and I haven't talked to him about this, but I'm a pastor, we're kind of similar creatures. God has given him a vision, and no one will fully understand that because God works through the pastor and trickles down through the ministry. We're obligated to catch the pastor's vision, but God gives the pastor the vision, and he lets him pretty much know how it's going to work out, but it's always going to be accomplished by the people of God. And the only thing he desires, he just said this to Mormon Neal, he said, only thing we're asking is, do as God leads you. And I want you to know that is not just a casual statement by his Spirit. This is why it's important that you walk with God. Your pastor knows that you will give the right offering. You will make the right commitment if you walk in the Spirit of God. How do we know that? Because he never makes a mistake. Never makes a mistake. And he has a function. There is a format. The Holy Spirit guides us, and not just, and we're talking a little bit about building tonight, but he guides us in growth, and he guides us in our mission. And this is spiritual business here. It's spiritual. It's not about making an empire here on earth, because all this is going to burn someday. By the way, if you read your Bible, there is a little bit of global warming in there. That's a whole other message. How many of you remember Y2K? Okay, we didn't get off the punkin' wagon last night. All right, moving right along. It has a format. The Holy Spirit guides and the Holy Scriptures govern us. And we're to walk in tune with the Spirit of God who inspired the Bible. And holy men of God declare the message of God. Pastors, teachers, evangelists. And so there is a format. There's a function. And everything is to be done decently in order as we're in tune with the Spirit of God. And boy, I tell you what, whenever you actually pull the hammer on this thing and you make it happen, you'll stand back a year or two from now and say, wow, I love that beautiful entrance. Wow, I'm so glad I can get a seat. Boy, isn't it great to get a parking space? One of my deacons came to us the other day. We've got that problem again, parking, and we do all we can to alleviate that. And we run these golf carts, six-man golf carts in the wintertime. We put a thing around them, put a heater in them, and we do all we can to facilitate getting people in and out. And we ran out of parking again. One of my deacons said, Pastor, 2 weeks ago, he said, we didn't have any parking places left. He said, do you think we can gravel this new section we just bought? I said, they won't let me do that. They want me to complete the whole project. They won't let me do it halfway. And so there are permits and all these hoops you got to jump through. But can I tell you that I can't wait till we get more parking, and I can't wait till we get more seating. And we're trying to decide now, should we go to two services and different things? And I want you to know these are all good problems. Amen. And this thing that, by the way, this should not, I like the Sunday school lesson this morning about how we ought to be joyful in our giving. And boy, don't ever handle, you say, how much of my money is the Lord's money? I'm going to tell you, all of it. Amen. And don't ever get to the place where you can't drop that offering in the plate and say, woohoo, glory, hallelujah. God loves a cheerful giver. My wife and I were just talking this morning about how God's blessed us. And I'd like to tell you, preacher, that we laid back money for Joel to go to college. We didn't. So we robbed a bank. Now, there's a bank in heaven. My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and we're ready to go for next year already. God's provided. And it's always exciting whenever you do the will of God, and he drops it in on you. God has a bigger shovel, somebody said already today. It has a format, and number five, I'm finished. There is a finished product. You're not going to find this really in the passage. It is there if you look real deep. But you're going to find it throughout the Scriptures, and that is this. One day the church age ends. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I've always wanted to preach on the rapture and have somebody over in the shadows with a trumpet. My wife said, you'll scare him to death. But it's going to happen someday. And there is a finished product. The finished product is this. Those that are saved, those that are in Christ, the dead in Christ, poof, will rise first. Dr. Hudson used to say, I feel like that the God's a little more partial to those that's been in the grave a little longer. And though it's just in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Well, it's going to be a wonderful day. I mean, friend, that's what it's all about. a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What's he talking about? He's talking about the household of God. That where I am, there ye may be also. Finished product. Woo! Glory to God. I can see mine now. Screen door and all. Howdy, y'all. Catfish frying. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's not just a building. It's a place where we house people. And someday, folks will die over the years. Pastor will bury them. But someday, all of the people in that big building go shooting through the sky. If that happened tonight, that roof wouldn't hold us. I close with this. It's been a very, 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 very tough fall for us. And I know that you all have walked through deep water as well here as a church family. End of November, we said goodbye to my father-in-law, my wife's daddy. 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, her mother went to glory. It was a hard time for their family. And the 1st of December, we made 14 round trips to West Virginia there to so my wife could spend time with her dad and help him. And looked like this time we wasn't going to make it. And so we went, and sure enough, before we get home, just the last day or so of November, he breathed his last breath. We were 2 hours from there, driving through the night, trying to get there. We had just been there a few days earlier and went home and thought that maybe we'd be safe for a few days, plan on going right back. And 82 years old, getting ready to turn 83, went to heaven. Big old barrel-chested Navy guy, tattoos on his arms. He wasn't saved. He wasn't saved when I married my wife, and I had to go ask for her hand, and I mean, scared me to death. My father-in-law was an old gunner on a battle wagon, World War II. And he lied about his age to get in. He was so fervent about America, and he was such a patriot. He used to shoot at those kamikaze pilots as they come toward that ship. And he told me the size of the gun that he used to shoot. And he said, Mike could shoot a clip of four just as quick as you could step on the pedal. And his gun was just right outside the pilot house, and the commander watched him as he would shoot those planes down and took notice of him. And he said, I like that guy. And so he brought him into the wheelhouse and he made him a steerman on that big ship, that big vessel. I said, what'd you do working with that man? He said, whatever he said. And he told us several stories there. And he came home and married. He was married to my mother-in-law for 62 years. They lived in the same house for 62 years. And he got saved right after my wife and I were married and was baptized in the Ohio River, right down under and back up. He got involved in our church there, and he was a welder by trade, and he used to help us do things like that around and use his gift for the Lord. And he was the fire chief there in the valley, in the Ohio Valley where we lived. I mean, he was the top dog. Everybody knew him. And he was retired, of course, from all of that, and when he died, it was a big funeral. First week of December, we went up and I helped the pastor of our old church. We came together to have my father-in-law's funeral and to bury him. And it's a very unique thing. They have what they call the last call, 911, the last call. And some of you firemen, police officers, maybe they do this in California, but they're countywide. There was a truck from every department, a police car from every department. States were there. Everything was there. And big procession. When we came into the cemetery, they took the two large ladder trucks and they made a big A-frame. And they drove the coach to that A-frame with a flag hanging down. And they prepared us for this next thing, but it's a pretty awesome thing. And as we finished the graveside, we were to step away and they were going to have health net fly over. And this may not seem like much to you, but it was big for country people. And when we were standing there having that graveside, I could hear just over the mountain, thump, 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 that helicopter just eddying out over there. And as soon as we prayed, the captain called, and that helicopter came over the mountain, came right over that tent about 50 yards and hovered there, thump, 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 and just bowed. And men saluted. And they flew off. They had a last call, 911, over the pagers and everything. And now I thought about this. Chief, saying goodbye today. But we're in the household of God. And we're going to say hello in the morning. Friend, I want you to know that's what it's all about. This earthly tabernacle is going to dissolve someday. But we have a house in heaven. Not made with hands. And though some hands and some cranes are going to lift some walls up here in a few months, the church is what we're looking at right here. We all pull together to make the household of God a wonderful thing that people want to be involved in.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.